Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Precipice Podcast. My name is David Sandlin, and on this week's episode, I'll be joined by my friend Nelson Cowan once again. This is a part two of a previous podcast that we released. This time, we will be talking about millennials. So if you are a millennial, I'm talking about you. Listen. And if you're not a millennial, what's up with millennials? Let's have a conversation about it. So it's gonna be a fun conversation that we have here, entertaining. And if you're someone who likes to go out and be entertained, then oftentimes you'll probably use a rideshare app. And with you've got some options when it comes to that, but a great rideshare app is Lyft. And for a limited time, if you enter my promo code Precipice when you sign up for Lyft, you get a $50 ride credit. You don't have to keep using Lyft. You can just use your credit and quit, and you wouldn't spend any money. You can go into my website, theprecipice.net, click on the About/Support tab, and you'll get all the info you need to sign up and get a nice little ride credit, and it'll help support the show as well. Also, be sure to rate us on iTunes. Now, everybody, Nelson Cowan. Hello, Precipice Podcast listeners. I am pleased now to introduce my friend and a person of great knowledge, Nelson Cowan. He graduated from UNF. And then he went to Wesley Theological Seminary, got his Master's of Divinity, and is now getting his PhD in Liturgical Studies from, did I say Boston University already?
Not yet.
Okay, yeah, it's from Boston University. Nelson Cowan is on the show. Nelson, hello.
Greetings, David Sandlin. You make me sound so fancy when you credentialize me like that. I just made up that word, but that's what you did.
I think you have the ability now, since you're so well-studied, to actually invent words. So
that's funny you say that, actually. I do that often in papers.
Do you have to put them in quotation marks when you do that? Or do you just, like, put them in your papers as if they are, in fact, the word?
Sometimes I just put them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad is like a grammar person, and so whenever I would want to do that, he'd be like, David, you need to put that in quotes, because that's not a real word.
I italicized a couple of words. Yeah, I actually put two gerund verbs next to each other in our most recent paper. Uh-huh. Being and acting. Like, I put being acting next to each other, because it made sense in the context of the paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's how cool I am.
Nelson is a pretty cool person, and so that's really ultimately why I wanted Nelson to come on the podcast. We're going to be talking about, like, a lot of randomness. We might even break this up into a two-part podcast. We'll see how it goes. But really, I just wanted to bring Nelson on because he's a cool guy. I enjoy talking to Nelson, and I thought that the Precipice Podcast listeners might also. So, yeah. Nelson lives in Boston. Nelson, how is Boston? How's the weather this time of year?
You know, Boston's pretty cool. So today, actually, it was like 68 degrees. It was sunny and wonderful. And I took my bike out and biked for an hour, like, just because. That's how nice the weather was today.
Wow. Wow. And where did you bike to?
You know, I don't know. I just followed this trail that, like, runs along the river. So I might have gone to Cambridge, but I don't really, you know, I've lived here for 2 years and I still don't know the geography of Boston.
Yeah.
But I just drove it, you know, rode the trail until it deadened into a major road. And then I turned around and came back.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a fun thing. That, you know, biking, Nelson, getting on to our first topic of conversation.
Wow, that's quite a segue there.
I know, biking is something that a lot of millennials do.
Is it?
I think, especially like the hipster millennials here in the San Marco area, they love to bike.
That's true. That is very true.
So I wanted to talk about millennial stuff and just kind of wanted to, I think this might transition into some topics that maybe we weren't going to talk about, but
I guess first, in regards to millennials, what's your feeling on being a millennial? You are one.
I am one, yeah. And I feel like we get a bad reputation, but I also feel like talking about us, you know, you see all these articles about millennials explaining that we get a bad reputation. That's also very common. So yeah. There's all this talk about our reputations right now, and I just, you know, I haven't processed this enough. I'm just being a millennial, I suppose.
Yeah.
And at the same time, kind of like rejecting everything they're telling me I'm doing, when right. In fact I'm doing it anyway.
What are you doing that you think you're rejecting, but aren't?
Yeah. So I'm biking quite frequently. With kind of like an underlying assumption that what I'm doing is, you know, contributing somehow to making the earth a better place to inhabit, like in terms of climate. Uh-huh. I binge watch on Netflix. Right. You know, I'm ashamed to say, but I do.
What do you binge watch?
Just stupid stuff, man. Just stupid things. So Arrow, that show is terrible.
Yeah, so you just look for random garbage to binge watch?
Kind of, yeah. I'm not looking for cinematic masterpieces. So like right now I'm binge watching the show, it's an old show, Community.
Oh, and that's good.
It's a good show. Like the first three seasons are pretty cool, but seasons like 4 and 5, I'm on 5 now. Like it's clearly just tailored to lovers of Community.
Is that the Yahoo season? Because I know there's a season that was made on Yahoo.
I don't know, but it kind of feels like it now that you say that.
the final season, it came out only on Yahoo, and I couldn't make my way through it. It was just, it lost something in there.
Yeah, I mean, everything, so Troy, I'm at the point where Troy is the character who, Danny Glover is his name?
Yeah.
No, Donald Glover, sorry. Donald Glover. Danny Glover is another actor. Donald Glover.
Danny Glover, is that the Angels in the Outfield man?
I think so.
One of them. I'm looking.
They're not related. I know that.
We're talking about the Jehovah's Witness boy from Community.
Yes. Yes. Troy, his actor, his real name is Donald Glover, I'm pretty sure. He's also a rapper, as I discovered yesterday, like a pretty accomplished rapper. Named his stage name is Childish Gambino.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's like good, but I couldn't take his rap seriously because I kept imagining Troy, and it was terrible.
Right.
Oh, but it's actually good.
And yes, it is. Danny Glover was the black man from Angels in the Outfield. So
we'll get to know.
Yeah. Donald is Jehovah's Witness Troy.
Yes.
Childish Gambino.
Yes. All of the above.
So you are somebody who bikes and binge watches, and that kind of fills your millennial identity.
And I probably obsess too much over like craft coffee. Mm. I feel like that's a big component. Or just craft in general, craft beer, craft coffee, the whole like
craft macaroni and cheese.
You know, buy local, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm pretty firmly on board that train.
Yeah. So these are ways that you are living into the millennial life. I feel like there's like people from other generations, they're often looking down on millennials. I think there's some quote from some NBA guy recently, just really trashing millennials.
Isn't he a millennial if he's in NBA?
He's like,
unless he's old.
Yeah, he's like a coach or something like that. Oh, I don't know what his role was, but he was like, millennials are garbage because of cell phones or something like that.
Mm, totally true.
So do you think that we have as a generation, do you think that the image that is upon us is an accurate one? I mean, you said you've lived into some of what is, I guess, what is out there as far as what we do. But overall, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I think it's pretty accurate, and I think it's accurate for a good reason, because I think there's a positive underlying reason for the way millennials are the way they are, and I think it's rooted in this idea that, you know, one person can contribute to changing the world in a positive way. I think technology, kind of the proliferation of technology, has certainly affected this with like social media campaigns and everything from just, you know, Skyping people and YouTube platforms. All these forms of media are right. really affecting the way we can contribute to bettering the world. So it sounds kind of a stretch to talk about, you know, our obsession with cell phones and bettering the world. But I think there is a connection there, though.
Right. And you know. Yeah, I agree with that.
And even like craft coffee, for instance, you know, like craft coffee is so damn expensive because, you know, it's like 16. I think I'm out of coffee now, but like the last thing I bought was $16 or $17 for a 12-ounce package of coffee. But because I knew where the coffee beans were being sourced from.
Freedom beans, right?
That's what I call them. Yes, David.
Let me get some of them freedom beans.
Yes, that's how I order every time. Excuse me, do you have the freedom beans?
What are some of the negative things you hear associated with millennials?
It's mostly, gosh, I feel like, so I was just around, I don't know what generation they are, but a couple of generations, probably two or three generations ahead, I suppose, of Samantha, my wife, and I. Sorry, she goes by Samantha up here in Boston, Sam in Florida.
You just said that your wife is two or three generations ahead of you?
No, I'm sorry. Maybe I did.
No, I'm just kidding. I know what you're saying.
She is a cougar, though, by like 8 months. No, but we were around some of her family members, and I feel like I kept hearing this resounding complaint about being too absorbed with phones again. Like, it's phones.
Right.
And being connected with other people and not being present in the moment. That was like the biggest critique I heard and observed. Like, even when it wasn't vocalized, you know, I observed Aunt Carol, you know, even though she was obsessed with her Facebook, you know, for 6 hours of the day, whenever we were looking at our phones, when a conversation was happening, there were some judgy glances, not going to lie.
Yeah, you know, but the funny thing about that is I feel like some of our elders are kind of really big into the social media as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, as she was judging, she was probably playing Candy Crush on, you know, on her iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is something I've noticed, that oftentimes when our generation is out and about, right? Because we have this computer phone in our pockets available to us as a means of entertainment, we often will just use that as kind of like a barrier between us when we don't know other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like even in like on the college campus, I was working with campus ministry, and oftentimes we'd have students that would just not really, when they're first coming in, they maybe didn't, like anyone would be, they're afraid to engage in,
right,
like with the new surroundings and the new people, and so they're on their phone,
mm-hmm,
perfectly ready to engage in a conversation if approached, but at some point, when you've got the phone in front of your face, it does make you look busy or like somebody who doesn't want to be bothered, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's also comforting for the person holding the phone. Like, there's kind of a bit of reduced social pressure. Like, when you've got your phone in front of you, you don't have to, you know, perform as well. Like, you know, if you're an extrovert, it might not be, you know, it might be easier to just put down the phone and go talk to people. But really, you know, for the introverted people, like, that might be a great thing to be occupied with your phones so you don't have to necessarily put yourself out there, because that's frightening.
Right. But you know, that's something about you, Nelson, that I know. You are,
what do you know, David?
You, when we used to go to church things together, we're always somebody that was pretty welcoming to new people. In fact, you had a lot of awkward questions you would ask people.
I'm sure. Yeah, I kind of dwell in this in the awkward plane.
What is it about who you are that allows you to be that person that welcomes others and makes them feel welcome with awkward questions?
Well, I'll have to take a step back, because I think what enables me to have that confidence is like a solid rooting and community first.
Huh. Interesting.
So like, I already know that I'm welcomed and loved by a community. So I think that already adds tons to how I feel at the present moment. And that, you know, contributes to my confidence.
So, so if you're in a new city and you're not in a community yet, then, and you're at like the ball game, you wouldn't go up to somebody and ask them what their favorite kind of Wildcat is?
No, I haven't done that since 2004.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've asked someone what their favorite Wildcat was. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. So Boston was kind of tough initially when we moved here. One, because like Boston people are just in general more guarded. So right. Like, you know, you're in Florida and you walk on the side of the street and people will, if you're walking past somebody, they'll make eye contact with you and probably wave, maybe even verbally say something.
Howdy.
Right. Yes. Totally. Howdy. But in Boston, it's like, you know, let's just avoid eye contact. You know, I'm me, you're you. But the weird thing about Boston is if I were to keel over, they, you know, people would just ignore me. They would come help me. I think people are just as good internally as in Boston as they are in the South. But,
right.
You know, I don't know. There's a bit of a, I don't know what I was going to say. I forgot how that related to what you asked me.
talking about how you become somebody that's willing to welcome people you don't know, right? And you're talking about community, right? So you first need a community, a place that you feel comfortable in before you can be there.
Right. Yeah. And even to this moment right now, like, and so let's take some of my PhD program, and I've got a bunch of colleagues and, you know, we're friends, but we're not like close friends. I wouldn't call, you know, we don't have dinner at each other's house regularly or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm not quite comfortable, you know, being so hospitable. I mean, yeah, I'm nice, but I'm not going to, I don't know, take those extra two or three steps just because I don't feel comfortable enough yet.
What are the two or three steps?
In making people feel comfortable or welcome?
Yeah.
I always look for it. So for me, I always look for a point of connection initially with somebody, like something, some kind of jumping off point, you know, kind of like how you mentioned the Wildcat thing earlier and, you know, asking, you know, you made that connection with me. My heart really, you know, really struck a chord with my heart, David.
I could hear it in your voice that you were really thinking about Wildcats a lot lately. So
I was, yeah. You're so intuitive. Yeah. See that right there. That's connection.
So but that, no. Step one is intuition.
Yeah, you do. You need to intuit, you know, what perhaps you might have in common and build on that. Like that was always my strategy, like in campus ministry, for example, like establishing a common person we know, or that TV show we've both been, you know, binge watching because we're millennials.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. Like finding that thing.
I can see that.
There. Yeah.
All right, so let's role play.
Oh, that's good. I think my next door neighbor is going to play too. I keep hearing them like rumbling through the walls.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
I'm a random student at Boston University.
What's your name, random student?
Hi, I'm Randall.
Randall, that's a terrible name. Who gave you that? Okay, I wouldn't say that.
Did we just break character, or what are we doing here?
Sorry, Randall. I was having a conversation with my friend David. Randall, are you new to Boston University? How long have you been here?
I've been here for 12 years.
Wow, are you in a PhD program here?
No.
Oh, what degree program are you in? Or are you on faculty or staff?
I'm getting my bachelor's in communications.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So are you working part-time as you're doing this?
Nope.
No? Randall, I'm sorry. You're just a loser, man.
Oh, okay.
Good luck making friends here. Yeah, 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, bye.
See you, Randall.
So that's kind of like how it would go, or?
I mean, pretty much. Yeah. You know, when I'm presented with, crazy details like that, I just got to reject that person.
I can see that. And I think we should reject people that are different as much as we can.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Maybe I should preach that for my congregation.
I think that's a good idea. Good idea.
Yeah, wow.
So one thing that millennials are all about is accepting people, I think. Right?
Yes, except for when it hurts. But yeah.
What do you mean when it hurts?
Yeah, except when your quote unquote civil liberties are infringed upon. Like, let's take, hate to get all hot topic here, but gay marriage, for example, some people feel like that a man marrying a man is, threatening their civil liberties somehow. Sorry, I'm revealing my bias pretty clearly.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, can you hear my neighbor whistling? He's whistling.
I can. What is he whistling? I can't make that out, though.
I don't know. Not quite sure. I never really know.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't speak English at home, so he's not whistling in English either.
Interesting. What is his language?
I don't know. I'm not a linguist. But David, you're a cunning linguist. Sorry, it's from a movie.
What movie?
I don't remember. Maybe a cunning linguist, but I'm a master debater. You know that line?
I think I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah, I probably said it in your presence. I feel like it's been carried down from generation to generation, my family.
Oh, wow.
And by that, I mean from my dad to me, really.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you think that there are millennials out there that feel like gay marriage is infringing on their civil liberties? Millennials?
Yeah.
You think that this is an overarching theme for millennials? No. Because I feel like the majority would not fall into that category.
No, definitely not. Yeah, you're right. The majority would not fall in that category.
Okay.
But I always point out that the kind of the fringe group of people when we try to characterize millennials to say that, no, there are in fact millennials who are just as prejudiced and bigoted as
people from other generations who are less willing to accept the outsiders and the others. And I mean, it's no different with us. We've got those people, and they're around, and some of them are voting for Donald Trump.
Hanging out. Some of them are even in Boston.
Right, and I think the fringe group would, probably hate a lot of the things that are attributed to millennials.
Yes. Yeah, yep.
Well, Nelson, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It was a pleasure to have you on, and fun to talk with you.
I'm glad you had me. This was fun.
Yeah, we'll do it again in the future, maybe, if you'll allow it.
I think I'll allow it.
Okay, cool. All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Precipice Podcast. If you're enjoying these episodes, please be sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever your podcast listening app is. It'll help us to be discovered more easily. We are also on the World Wide Web. You can find us at theprecipice.net, PrecipicePod on Twitter, and at PrecipicePodcast on Instagram. So, yeah, you should find us on there. Follow us, tweet at us, post comments on our pictures. Enjoy your weeks, and we should have some cool new content coming out very soon. Have a good day.